This call is being recorded.
Is there anyone online this evening? We are going to go ahead and get started. My desire this evening is to almost complete the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. I say almost complete the 23rd chapter because the last few particular verses in this chapter will begin to mention some of King Josiah's sons, and I choose not really to talk about them on this evening. So I want to pray, and then we're going to go on into the particular lesson for tonight. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you with our hearts bowed before you, grateful for your mercy. We don't deserve any of your mercy or grace, but you told us to come before you with thanksgiving, and that we do on this evening. May our thanksgiving be demonstrated in the way we live to you humbly and submissively, for we can say many things with our mouths, but you know, we need your strength at all times. We at times forget how wonderful you are because you've allowed a certain automaticity to the way our physical bodies function. Things that we can do that we don't have to think about, blinking, moving, but when we fail to be able to do any of those things, we begin to really think more about you. Help us not to take you for granted. There are times when I know I have, and just looking at the pattern of men throughout history, I would imagine and believe that others have done it from time to time. Help us to be ever thoughtful of who you are and who you've called us to be. We need you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Word. Help me to talk about these scriptures on this evening, and I don't want to say anything that is incorrect, but I pray for people who live in other countries who are suffering abuse, oppression, conflict, war, the egregious atrocities, because they trust in you. I pray for this nation and those who are in leadership. You told us to do that. Help us to be strong, that no matter in what epoch or time in history find ourselves, we'll continue to grow and to be faithful. Help us from day to day. Various needs that we have, you know them all. Please help us. And I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited to be able to talk a little bit about the scriptures on this evening. Again, I want to reiterate where I'm planning on coming from. I'm wanting to come from the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. We have been talking about King Josiah as of late. I would say this might be somewhere close to the third week, or at least the second week, because we've talked about Amon, his father. We've talked about Hezekiah. I believe Hezekiah would, if I'm remembering correctly, would be his grandfather. And perhaps you think, okay, how is it that you can keep saying, if I remember? Sometimes when reading and just looking at the lives of these various kings, it can, at least for me, you might do a better job at recollection than me, and that's fine. I'm not jealous, but sometimes it could just be confusing. So, but anyway, tonight we're continuing with Josiah. Josiah was a godly man, and by all accounts, from what I've read, and even just what I think, and having read and still going through him, doesn't make it right because I think it, but I think the scriptures bear it out. He seems to be the godliest, most righteous king that we have seen or will see in the southern kingdom. I got a title tonight, and I want to go ahead and give it to you. My title, in a sense, is a play on words, and I have a brief hesitation that would cause me not to do it, but it's not one that's longstanding because I still like my title. My title tonight is Don't Pass Over What Yahweh Has Done For You. Repeat it again. Do not pass over what Yahweh has done for you. Now, I don't know if I'm even going to, I don't intend to do the whole 23rd chapter, but I want to cover the rest of what Josiah has done. So let me give you a little bit of where I'm wanting to go. I do want to go to 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter. It is possible if I choose beyond alluding to Leviticus and parts of Deuteronomy, we may be in Exodus. Let me rephrase that. Exodus and Deuteronomy. I'm wanting to highlight a little bit or a lot. Exodus, the 12th chapter and so forth. So let's just go into what about my title? So I'll give a synopsis of where we have been, and then I'll try to bring this title in, and hopefully you can see where I'm talking about. There's sort of a play on words here. Some of you already know. I know you do. So we've been looking at Josiah. Josiah brought about a great revival to the kingdom of Judah, that southern kingdom. Northern kingdom pretty much had been left desolate because they were wicked people. Yes. And so Josiah, his father was a wicked man. Yes, he was. Ammon was a wicked man, only lived 2 years. And so part of the things that thank you. He only reigned 2 years. I'm going to try to fix it. He lived to reign 2 years. He lived as king 2 years. Anyway, yes, you're right. He only reigned for 2 years. Some of the things that Josiah did, Josiah had heard the judgment that God had for his people. Remember that there was a book found by the high priest Hilkiah. This book, it seems, had been either lost. Some believe that some wise, faithful men took that book out of the temple of God and put it away. I believe I said that I could not prove that before. Nonetheless, the way it seems to read in the version that we often use, KJV, and I said that's the only one, okay? Seems that it was lost. When Josiah heard this, the book of the prophets, he rent his clothes. There was a fear that struck him in his heart because when the word of God was read, guess what? He heard promises and he heard judgment. Promises is a word that we actually like to hear because it makes us think of things that are positive. But when this king heard it, he didn't just think of positive. He knew that God would positively do what he said. That's positive either way you look at it. What we do sometimes, we'll think of positive as something that's just beautifully wonderful and advantageous for us. Well, as we know who spend time in the Word of God, God does not work to just make us feel good. No, he's consistent. He's truth. So Josiah, he rents his clothes and he sends some people, the high priest, some Levites, and some elders to hear the prophetess Huldah. Huldah pronounces some things and they were just so good. I want to try to be kind of quick with what she said. If you look in 2 Kings 22nd chapter, listen, I'm about to give you the verses. 2 Kings 22nd chapter, verse 13, verse 17, verse 20. Repeat them. 2 Kings 22nd chapter, verse 13, verse 17, verse 20. She speaks about the anger of God. And the thing about Josiah is he knew what they meant when he heard him. And it's interesting because once he heard him, he rent his clothes and he sent people. And then he gets the pronouncement. So he was not ignorant, but he wanted, like, what's the certainty of this? Let's hear from someone who knows. Can I read just a little bit? I want to try to do it fairly quickly because chapter 23 has some scriptures in there. Listen, I'm going to skip into the 13th verse. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that
is that which is written unto us. 13th verse. He rent his clothes. There was a fear that overtook him. It wasn't just respect, was it? It was beyond that. It was great, great, great respect. Listen at a part of the 17th verse of the 22nd verse. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. See, there's another part. God is positively going to do that. It seems negative. We might call that evil or calamity. If you disobey, you call it evil and calamity. But God is certain and sure, right? Mm-hmm. The 20th verse. Listen, not see all the... Let me, I'm going to read the whole thing. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. So now I did some cutaways, you know. It's not like when we were little, at least when I was, they would give us these little magazines and we would take scissors and cut them out and then we'd paste them. I don't know if they do stuff like that. So we cut away and to see what was going to happen. So now let's go back into my little synopsis here. So when Josiah hears these things, he's like, oh my gosh, we got to get this right. And because his heart was tender, Huldah the prophetess, she said, you know what? God's not going to let you see this. So Josiah, he did not wait. He's like, I want to get this. I want to get our nation right. I want to get our hearts right. We got to turn back to his word, not to anything else. We got to turn back to his word. Why? If you look at Ecclesiastes, the 18th chapter, I'm not going to say it. Go and read it. Yeah, perhaps God might repent of what he's going to do to us if he sees. But, you know, she said he ain't going to stop. But what he did, God looked at it and was pleased. What did Josiah do? He tore down some high places, a lot of high places. Manasseh had high places. Solomon had built up high places. Different kings had built up high places. His father Ammon had put some idols and had built up an Asherah pole and put it in the temple of God. He took that mess out, had it burned in the valley of Kidron. He had some priests executed, put to death. If you read and you see about the some of the priests up in the north, they were spreading, how can I say, false doctrines. Listen to me here. That would take the lives of the people if they persisted in it. This is why you had to stop it. You had to put an end to it because they would lead the people astray. Other nations knew about God. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. There was one beginning and the people were scattered. In the book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 11. Chapter 11, chapter 10, you read about a lot of nations. Chapter 11, you see when they were going to become one, they were becoming one, and they were going to worship the sun, moon, and stars. And God said, I'm going to confuse the people. You can read about it. What else did he do? He repaired the broken places of the temple. There were various things that he did. He even, how can I say, enjoined what used to be the northern kingdom, Israel, to the southern kingdom under truth. He was returning to God's word, and he had the people come together, and he had it read. Yeah, thank you. My wife said he read it. So my point is, they heard the word. Listen, culturally, historically, it is understood that when the people of God back in those days, the Hebrews, would hear the word, it was to hear it, not just to hear it, as we say, but to, how can I say, abide in it, to keep it, to do it, to live by it. It was not just hearing it. Why? Because the people had habitually neglected and rejected and disobeyed the word of God. Those are some of the things that he did. Now, leading up to like the last five or six verses where we were last week, because I've come from a portion of the 22nd chapter into the 23rd chapter, and I'm going to go down through about verses 19 or so. While Josiah was, let's say, getting things right, he'd gone up into Israel a little bit. You see, going up toward the north, and he come to like Bethel. Remember, Jeroboam the first had set up worship places. They had golden calves built in Dan and in Bethel. Bethel would be beyond a little bit of the northernmost part of Judah. You go all the way up through Israel, you go through Samaria, and you get up to Dan. That would be up before you get to some of the other pagan nations and so forth, Bashan, Sidon, and all those places up there. He found those priests and all those things, and he had some of them put to death. But he came upon, let's say, an area where graves were, and he was looking at some tombstones, and he said, "What is this?" And the Bible says, basically, if you look, go back to 1 Kings 13. I'm not doing it tonight. We did it last week. 1 Kings 13, verses 1 through maybe about 7. There was a prophecy that was fulfilled where a prophet came from Judah and went and told Jeroboam. He says, "You know what? This wicked altar that you've got up here blaspheming the name and Yahweh of heaven." He said, "There's going to be someone who's born. His name is Josiah. He's going to burn these prophets on this crusty altar. The altar is going to be split." And we see the fulfillment of God's word around verse 15, 16, 17, and so forth of 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. Isn't it beautiful? It is. Why? Because God keeps his word. Josiah, he desecrates those altars and the grave, those graves. But he said of the man who had prophesied about him, he said, let's let this one alone. Now, this is what I'm calling a synopsis. So you go back and read about it. Isn't it interesting? It's better. It's better than what you can see on television. I think it is. Now, we're about to start around the 19th or the 20th verse. Because Josiah is not finished. Josiah wants to, as I say, he's heard the word of God. He wants to keep it. Problem is with people, I think it's not just us, but for them, it's like the word of God. It's like if you could have a scroll, or if you could have what we have, a compilation of books, there's a certain sense of keeping it. If you hold it, if you read it, reading it is wonderful. Memorizing it is wonderful, but how does it penetrate? You see, the book of Hebrews would say, he wants to write his word in your heart. I think it's about Hebrews 8. Verse 9 and 10, you can go to the 10th chapter. I forget which verse it is. It might be somewhere around 13 or 17. But he wants to write his word in your heart. Don't tell me it's just the New Testament. Because if you do, then you sound just a little bit ignorant. Or selective. Selective meaning that maybe you've read it, but you don't want to look at what it means. Ezekiel asks, God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" I think it's the 37th chapter. He said, "I'm going to put my spirit in these people." He said, "These bones, it's Israel. Israel, people supposed to be mine." Now let's get to the scripture, lest you think I'm not going to go there. Josiah says something about the Passover. Here I go. What's my title? My title is, "Don't Pass Over What Yahweh Has Done." The way God had blessed his people was he delivered them from a nation that was a tyrant to them after Joseph had passed. They held them in bondage. They would beat them. They wanted to kill their sons when around the time of Moses. They wouldn't let them go. Just hard on them, hard on them, hard on them. And God delivered them from it. So, Dre, I would like you, as you so wonderfully do, I want you to read. I'd like you to start at verse, let's say 20, because that connects to a little bit of where I had ended. Read verse 20 of the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings until I ask you to stop.
"And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, Keep the Passover unto Yahweh your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah.
I want you to stop. She read three verses. Now I'm about to slow down just a little bit. I spoke a little quicker on purpose, because what happens is when sometimes when we teach, it'll be real good to us. But sometimes we won't get the coverage, seems, other parts. My title again is Don't Pass Over What the Lord Has Done. With all of the blessings that God had done for them, to pass over, I mean that in the sense of forgetting. When God has blessed a nation or an individual, we can sometimes, it's like we pass over it as if it's not important, or if God is not God, or that he didn't have contingencies with what he had said originally. It's like you pass over it because something else might compete for your time and you put it there. So when I say that, when we look at the scriptures, what Dre just read, this Passover in the scripture, when he says, keep the Passover, that is the true Passover. Let's visit and remember a little bit what this, and I am so not going to like fill it up. Exhaust this. I want you to turn to Exodus, the 12th chapter. She just read that the Passover had not been kept. Now, there's about 8 to 10 verses. He said, Gary, we know this. Beautiful. How many times do we know something and it may not resonate with us as it maybe once did? Exodus, the 12th chapter, you're going to see, if you were to read the whole thing, we're going to start at about the 12th verse tree, where God has explained it to them there, the people of God were in Egypt and the Pharaoh did not want to let them go. God's using Moses as his mediator. I think that's the right word. And he's like, I want you to go be the voice for Pharaoh. You're representing me to him as you are the people and so forth. Pharaoh doesn't want to let him go. So God is like, 9 plagues, I believe, have passed. He says, if you don't let him go, this is what's going to happen. So God explains to them how he wants them to prepare to get ready for an exodus from bondage to freedom. So Dree, I want you to read Exodus 12, and I want you to read 12 through 14. Because this is Passover. We can just pass over it, and maybe it won't resonate, but it shouldn't be as such. Read, please.
For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever.
I do want to talk a little bit about some of this. God says, if you don't follow what I'm telling you right now, then I'm not going to pass over you. He says, I require that an animal sacrifice be killed. It's referred to as the Passover. Sometimes I think we think about the angel of death that we go through and it would pass over. I don't think that's incorrect. But when we say keep the Passover, he prescribed to them, I think it was the 10th day that you've got the month of Abib, which would be, I want to say it's the first month. Later on, it will be called the month of Nisan. On the 15th day of the month of Abib or Nisan, they were to sacrifice, kill. Well, I think on the 14th, it would be chosen and killed. It was to be without blemish. Calm down, Gary. This Passover was to be without blemish. When the blood was placed on the door, the place of entrance, the place of entrance. It's like, I want to say like the portal. I don't want to use portal. Like the heart, like the door, the entrance of God's word, receiving God's word. Put the blood on the door. If you don't do it, your firstborn will die. That's how powerful I am. That's how sovereign I am. That's how much Lord I am. I give life. I take life. I can deliver you from sin and bondage. An animal's got to die in your stead. So
It's interesting because when you see when God would do that, he was talking to the Pharaoh and all of those people. I'm Lord over them and I'm Lord over you. I'm about to, it's like I'm making you my nation.
Do what I say. Listen, so I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt. It's almost like your Israel's my firstborn. I think that's around the third chapter. We'll take the firstborn of Pharaoh. I've demolished all these God's representative in these other plagues. Watch what I do. He says, I will both man and beast and against all the gods of Egypt. Don't tell me that there weren't gods, okay? If you do, then we have a misunderstanding, a proper understanding of the scriptures. I will execute my judgment. I am Yahweh, God Almighty above all gods. 13th verse, the blood shall be to you a token. You don't plead the blood. You live what the blood has demanded. It was a sacrifice. Sacrifice. A sacrifice. When I get like this, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling what the scriptures say. I'm yelling what the scriptures say. You don't like it. It's just there. It's for me. It's for you. It's for anybody that will reject it. Do you hear what I said? Because the Pharaoh rejected it. And what happened? There was a lot of weeping and mourning. He lost his firstborn. He could have been changed, possibly. Listen, I will pass over you and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Now, this is the interesting thing. Let's jump to this 14th verse because we're there in 2 Kings, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Memory. Memorial. Heart to ponder. Heart to be grateful. Heart to be thankful. Heart not to pass over something God had did. We're going to read a few more verses from this next chapter, God willing, because he might take me out in the next few seconds, so God willing. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord. So God would let them have certain types of ceremonies and feast days to help give them an aid to remember. Because, you know, people forget stuff. Yeah, they do get busy, and sometimes forget stuff. Sometimes we don't even mean to. God knows this. Throughout your generations. Throughout your generations, he said, don't forget about me. That's some song. Don't you forget about me. I don't even know what it's about, but that part stood out to me in that song. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Tree, let's skip up in the same chapter. We're going to go to verse 21. I want to read the verse 27. Don't forget that we are in 2 Kings 23rd chapter. Would you read verses 21 through 27?
Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your family.
This lamb is the Passover. It's the animal to be sacrificed. Read, please.
And kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and stripe the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin.
Mm-hmm.
And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning.
Read.
For Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you.
I just want to make a statement. This door is an entrance. I likened it to the heart. The entrance place, your home where God is supposed to dwell. It's like he's keeping the entrance. I memorized some scripture years ago. Some I don't quote well, but I think it's Proverbs somewhere around 4:24. Keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful with it. Because your preoccupation, your consternation, your joy, out of your heart are the issues of life. But if Jesus' blood is there, not just some blood, not some trinket, it was a token, it was a symbol. Death happened, and he spared because of obedience.
It was a picture. You keeping the door of your heart? Or is it just passed over in our minds? Listen, I'm back at 23. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel, that is the doorpost, and on the two sides posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. Did you get it? He said, ain't going to kill the Egyptians, but he will kill you if you don't do it. Gary, that's mean. Can you see that? Listen. Can you see this is what it is saying? Listen, if we start contorting the scriptures to say what we want to, woe unto us. Paul said in Galatians, I think 1:6 and 2:6, if anybody preach unto you another gospel other than that what I have preached unto them, let that person be a dadgum curse. You want to get to heaven and you're going to change God's word? I think not. We don't even want people changing what we say. Be the boss somewhere and let somebody change what you say. Come on now. Listen at the 24th verse. And if I don't finish where I want to in 2 Kings 23, it's going to be okay. It will be okay. I have learned that it's all right. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. We keep seeing this in ordinance. It's really important. But let's not just read it and say, okay, they didn't keep the Passover. I've done that before. I said, we need to hang up on this Passover for a little bit. Dree, okay, we're going to read just a little bit more here. I want you to go to the 30th verse and read through the 32nd verse. Same chapter, please.
And Pharaoh rose up in the night.
Pharaoh didn't have the blood. What happened? He rose up.
He and all his servants. And all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, where there was not a house, where there was not one dead.
The destroyer came through. Now listen, it's talking about moaning and wailing. Moaning and wailing, loved ones dying, and they know that God has fought, and the people of God knows that God is fighting, and he's birthing them into a nation. When you look at Passover, it's in the time of spring, and it's like a time where the what you might call the sheaves, the first part of the crop comes in, and he's birthing them as a nation. The death angel has come in, and we're a time of death. You spring forth. He's breaking the chains and the shackles, and he's bringing you out 400 and something years, and he's bringing you out, and you won't keep it. It's passed over in your mind. Now think about what Josiah is hearing. He hears the book of the covenant and his heart is like torn. Read the next two verses, Dree.
And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve Yahweh as you have said.
Skip down to the 41st verse, please. The Pharaoh Pharaoh was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I've been stubborn. I can't do it. He's too powerful for me. Read.
And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years.
Bible says they were in bondage for that long. Think of all the suffering, and God required that they hope. God sent Moses, and Moses had to go through all kinds of people doubting him and so forth, but he had to trust in the Lord. Read. 430 years.
Even the selfsame day it came to pass. That all the hosts of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
It is a night to be much observed unto Yahweh.
This is to be commemorated for dadgum ever. Don't pass over me. Keep the Passover. Read, please.
It is a night to be much observed unto Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation.
Now, I'm going to just cut away and we're going to go back to 2 Kings. I think we've hopefully put that into our hearts and mind again. When you go into years beyond what Paul is writing, he will refer to our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, as the Passover. And we understand that he died on the cross. He was cursed and hung on that tree for us. Not that we'll live any kind of way. Not that we'll pass over the commandments of God. No. Romans 8:4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, lived out in
us. Colossians 1, I think it's around 21, says that we must, how does that go? Something about fill up that which remains. Talking about the suffering. There is a life to be lived in Christ. He calls us not just to say, he's my personal Lord and Savior, and I can live like I want to because he knows my heart. Is his blood on your heart? Are you living what it demands? Did I say it was easy all the time? No, but do trust and obey. He didn't die to be looked over, to be passed over. He gave himself as a sacrifice for you and I. And it begs that we continue to remember it. Now, we're going back. Let me see what time it is. We're going back to 2 Kings, 23rd chapter. And I'm going to read just a little bit, Drina, and I'm going to ask you to pick it back up. Because a lot of this is a narration, and it's going to pick back up into some restorative things that Josiah was doing. So I'm picking up at 2 Kings 23:21. And the king, that is Josiah, commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord, to Yahweh God Almighty, your God. And it is written in the book of the covenant, this covenant, the one that made me afraid, and I ripped my clothes. Says, surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah. You ain't had a king that did this. Now, Hezekiah did something similar, but it didn't equate to what God allowed Josiah to do. We'll talk about Hezekiah maybe in a minute. Listen, 23rd verse. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holding to the Lord in Jerusalem, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, Dre, I want you to pick up and read 24 for me.
Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of Yahweh.
Listen, look like he's spending some time in the Word of God. And it's not just to be perfunctory. In other words, how can I say it? I met my deed, I met my quota, and now I'm good. No, it's like, no, this affects me. This is some things people talk about culture, there's people talk about way of life. And what when we're studying into the Word of in the Word of God, it's really to become a part of us. David says something like this: that word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In other words, I cherish this, I hide it in my heart. It's like the seed that Matthew 13 talks about, and I put it there. So when different scenarios, situations come up, if I'm afraid, I trust in the Lord. If I'm tempted, I trust in the Lord. I've got the scripture, even if I can't quote them. I have his spirit of truth in me, which will reprove the world of sin, which will reprove me if I need to be reproved, rebuked, whatever, and extol when the time comes. Lord, have mercy, because I need answers. I need a wisdom in this world that will offer me A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and none of it be right.
None of it be right, but they might mix a little bit of this and mix a little bit of that.
Sesame Street. Can I talk about Sesame Street for a minute? When I was little and Sesame Street was really Sesame Street, they had sometimes four different things and say, one of these things doesn't belong here. Well, the A, B, C, and D of the world, all of those things don't belong. What belongs? The Word of God. Yeah, Josiah kept the Word of God. So there was some wizardry and some necromancy and some idol worship. And if you want to read about it, go to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, started about the 10th verse. You can read the whole thing, Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, 10th through about the 14th verse. And he talks about the wizards and the divination and all that. And basically God said, no, not in my camp. We have alluded and talked about other gods and demon spirits and so forth. God said, no, they'll lead you astray. Don't let your children go over there. Don't do that. Don't take the way of these pagan nations. So we see that Josiah is still dealing with this. He says, why? God said no. God said no. 25th verse. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any king like him. He's the last good king of the South. Y'all. They say we're down here in the South of the United States. Say y'all. I say y'all. Now, let's mention Hezekiah. If you were to go back and look at Hezekiah, I think it's in 2 Chronicles. I'm believing it's the 30th chapter. You'll see, just to kind of take us back. 2 Chronicles, I believe, is the 30th chapter. You'll see where Hezekiah tells the people, we're going to keep the Passover. But they needed to be washed up so much, the priests and stuff. Hezekiah prayed to God, said, God, would you please let us do this? But they didn't do it in the month they were supposed to. But God let them do it. But it's in he prayed and God let them do it. They did it in the next month and on a different day. But God allowed for it. I think it's in Numbers where you might see sort of an exception for that. I'm not sure if it's a perfect fit. But anyway, let's continue on. Let's do. So, Dree, I want you to pick back up, read the 25th verse, and go down until I ask you to stop, please.
And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to Yahweh with all his heart and with all his soul. And with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him.
But
notwithstanding, Yahweh turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And Yahweh said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel. And will cast off this city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah?
I want you to start right there. Listen what's going on. God says, when I was going through what I call my preface or synopsis, I read parts of three verses. I'll repeat them. 2 Kings 22, verse 13, verse 17, verse 20. And I said, what did Huldah say? And she talked about the wrath of God and how it would not be quenched. It's repeated right here. Yet we see there was a space or a reprieve where God was allowing this king to do things in the reprieve do. But see, what we have to remember is because people won't think about it. And sometimes it's like we don't know how to think about it. That's why we need teaching. Right. And I'm not saying I'm the best one, but thank God I'm learning. Right. Bible says be apt to teach. I think that's what Paul tells Timothy. Choose you out some men, make disciples and so forth. Right. So. In the reprieve, there should be some growth. But God, he has given centuries, right? Centuries for those people to grow up. They were to grow up into a holy nation of wisdom and were really supposed to affect the world. In the book of Acts, you see where they said these men talking about the apostles and so forth. I say, I think he said they trouble the nations. I can't remember. Turn the world upside down. I might be confusing Ahab talking to, I think, Elijah. They turn the world upside down. If we don't turn the world upside down, we at least ought to cause some kind of turbulence, righteous turbulence. Cause people to think. Cause people to see God. We can't make people live right. But to speak to the glory of God. Anyway, so it said God didn't. It's like even in light of all of this, God is still going to keep his promise. Why? Because he's given so much time, and he told them. Maybe you get tired of hearing us talk about Leviticus 26, but why? So we know someone said, but why? why he said, if you don't turn, if you don't repent, if you will continue to be hard-hearted, I will, like, make me think of Revelation. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, if you read Hebrews, the third chapter, you get a little synopsis of this. The people were hard-hearted and they provoked God into anger. Yes, they did. Do you know that you can still provoke God into anger and his mercy? He will not be abused. The Bible says some things about that. Galatians 6 and around 1 and 2. You sow to the flesh, you'll love the flesh, reap corruption. So you make this habitual practice and you pass over what God says. Don't think that you're just going to live any kind of way. Neither fornicators, abusers of themselves, or mankind, liars. Just read. Romans 1, I think around 29. It's all I could tell you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Galatians, I think. I think it's 5, 19, maybe, yeah, 19, 18. There are places in the Bible it tells you, this is what it says basically, you can't live a fleshly life. A carnal Christian, is that not an oxymoron? Jesus says you must be born again. You must be born again. That means your mind has been changed and you have a new identity. We don't go back to the beggarly elements of life. Read Ephesians 2, start it back. And such were dadgum some of you. Now, you might feel sometimes the pull of something, but you fight against that thing with the Holy Spirit. Look at Satan, how he tried to tempt Jesus. We're no greater than the master. Let me go back to where we are. Okay, so I'm back here now. And it says, but God, in the 26th verse, he says he didn't turn away from what he had said he was going to do to the nation of Judah. Just like Israel now has been left desolate. This whole, I think, 90 miles north to south of what we call Palestine, Israel and Judah. Y'all have disappointed me. So I'm going to let another nation come and rule over you. You didn't want to be ruled by me. You will be ruled by someone. And the thing is people think they're ruling themselves, but there are wicked. This spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6 and 12. You ain't that big in this world, really. Spirit's been existing a long time, and we think we're doing stuff around here, going either to heaven or living righteously so that we can be with our maker and creator. We're almost finished in this particular part. I will ask, let me see what time it is, in just a second here, that we turn to the Second Chronicles. Let's go here. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight. I'm not going to regard Judah anymore. It's not going to be the apple of my eye. As I have removed Israel. See, Assyria has come in and they've taken Israel captive and so forth. And I will cast off the city of Jerusalem, place where I said my name was to be recorded. I'll cast it off. I don't have to have it. Which I have chosen in the house, which I have said my name shall be there. He wanted his name on his people. See, he wanted his name on his. You think God need a place? Didn't he ask? I think it was David a question. David, you really think you can build me a house? Come on, David. David, please. But I like how you think it. It's so good. Let me come in your heart. Let me reside in you. Gary, that's not this dispensation. Come on, we see patterns in the dadgum Holy Scriptures. They're not dadgum. It's just that's emphasis, okay? I'm at verse 28. Now, the rest of the acts of Josiah and all he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the King of Judah? So if you go to the 29th verse right here, because the Arthur here is basically going to kind of conclude Josiah's life, but he's going to tell you how basically he dies. And so there's a little bit here, but I want to turn to 2 Chronicles. I think it's 35 and 18. There's maybe 8-9 verses there. In the Chronicles, the account in the Chronicles, we're going to get a little more information. Now, we understand that we have world powers that's on the scene, just like today. We hear talks today of Russia. We hear talks of China. We hear talks of the Ukraine and talks of other nations that they really may not value as very powerful. That kind of stuff was going on back then. Didn't Ecclesiastes say that there's nothing new under the sun? It's all about being greedy. Who got the most resources and who wants to control it? So we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles 35. I want to start at about, I think I wrote this down. I think I want to start about verse 18. And we're going to see a little bit more here. I don't think I'm exactly right. Give me a second. I might have lost my place. It's talking about, yeah, let me turn back. Talking about Necho, 35, I'm sorry, not 28. We're going to turn to 2nd, somebody's like, no, Gary. 2nd Chronicles 35, verse 18. I believe that's where I want to go. And if you'll pick up.
And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet.
Keep reading. It's kind of picking up. It'll just read. Keep reading. We'll see it in a second.
Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present,
mm-hmm.
and the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Read.
In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept.
Now we're seeing that the Passover is kept. Now we went into where were we? Not Leviticus, Exodus. If you want to get a more detailed description of the Passover, it will resemble what you see in the portions of Exodus 12 we did not read. Deuteronomy 16 will also talk about it. So that will be found in I think, Second Chronicles 35. What parts that we skipped, I just chose not to read that because we have a general idea. We're going now to read about something militarily where Josiah was basically stubborn. And we're going to see how he loses his life. So that 19th verse says the Passover was kept. What was that commemoration? What did it mean? We talk a little bit about that. Pick up at the 20th verse, please, Dree.
After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not."
Read.
Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself, that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo.
Okay, I want you to stop right there, because it's just a few more verses. It's like we have a cutaway, and let's say some time has passed. Passover has been kept. He's done wonderfully with trying to restore the God in the hearts and minds of the people. Now mentioned world powers, and I likened it today to Russia, China, and so forth. So remember, the Assyrians had taken over Israel and taken people captive, planted people there. Josiah had gone up and killed some of the false prophets. We talked last week how those priests were not they weren't Levites and so forth. So now you got Egypt entering into the scene. We've talked about Babylon. That's about four different nations, listen, that we've looked at in these various passages. Egypt mentioned. We've talked about Assyria over and over again. We're talking about Babylon and now the people of God in the area of Judah. That's four nations. So Necho is a pharaoh. We can call him a king. And he's going out. Now, I didn't look Carchemish up. Sometimes I look at that. But if you think of the Jordan, is extremely long. And it's like it divides part of Palestine. You got the east side, you got the west side. You have most of when we talk about Judah as opposed to Ammon and Moab and all that, they're on the east side of the Jordan. So a lot of time you hear on the other side of Jordan. When you hear that in the scripture, it's talking about on the eastern side. Anyway, this Necho, he's going out to fight. Josiah's like, I'm going out there. And it looks like he's going to go fighting against him. So I'm going to go back and just read a little bit. Listen, at this is the 20th verse. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates. And Josiah, when I said the Jordan, I think we read Jordan. If not, then I may have just gotten rivers mixed up. It won't really mess up what we're reading here. Just maybe got it wrong. He went by Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now, this Necho, I'm thinking sometimes I'm like, okay, you got horses on, and chariots and all this rumbling and dust and all that, but look like they could still communicate to a certain degree. Listen, but he sent ambassadors out to him. So we got some communicators saying, what have I to do with thee? Why are you out here meddling? Thou king of Judah, I come not against thee. You come out here to try to fight against me. You're not why I'm here. You're not why I'm here. Interestingly, we're going to see that this king of Egypt, this Pharaoh, he says that God has basically talked to him. Now, some will be like, I don't know if that's true. But what I know is that when we saw the Pharaoh in, I think, in Genesis, when Abraham had said Sarah was his sister, God dealt with him in a dream. God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. You see where God will deal with people. He told him, you know, go back home. You have no business here. Verse 21, but he sent ambassadors. What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with me, who is with meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Now, I think it's in Isaiah 10 or 13 or 13 and 10 or 10 and 13. I kind of forget. I think, and we see that God used Assyria as his vessel, right? So I believe when we read this here, Josiah should have listened. He, God is with me to do what I'm doing. But in the 22nd verse, we see that Josiah didn't listen. So even if you do a lot of what's right, it doesn't mean you might not make a dumb decision. Or I don't see Josiah seeking the Lord right here. I don't see it. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, that is Necho, but disguised himself that he may fight with him, and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. It says from the mouth of God. And came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants. Now Josiah is up in the chariot where he would ride. And often, I think when we were talking about Jehu, several chapters ago, we see that there would often be sometimes two or three persons and what we would call this vehicle. He says, Josiah tells his servants, he said, carry me away from here.
Carry me away from here. For I am sore wounded. I'm dying. I'm losing lots of blood. I don't want to die here.
Bet you he's thinking. Sometimes we wait a little late sometimes. Listen, verses 24 through 27, and we're getting ready to close out. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in a second chariot. it just couldn't trust me. I was like, get in a second car. Anyway, therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his father. And all of Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentation to this day, the day that this was penned, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the lamentation. Now, I had looked at two passages in Jeremiah. I looked in 25, but that seems to be talking about hopefully where we'll be going in part. Hopefully next week. And I think that was 25. And then I looked at 46. 46 seems to be almost like a song, but it seems like it could apply kind of to this, but beyond this. And sometimes the scriptures will do that. We're not going to turn to it tonight. I might maybe make a little mention of it tonight, but the people are sad about what has happened to Jeremiah. Do you know that they've, thank you, Josiah, this good king, this righteous king who has brought God's order, I'm still going to say it's his blessing, even if God's going to deal with the people, because it's still his blessing. Yeah, it is. So they're lamenting this. 26 and 27. Now, the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, Behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Now, that's not really the last verse I want to read. There is a verse, and I hope I can remember where it is, that I want to read because I think it will segue, Lord willing, into if we get to talk about this on next week. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 34 and I'll read the last verse of the 34th chapter. There's something that stood out to me when I was looking at it, and we've seen the pattern of this. I thought of Josiah when I read this verse. Not Josiah, Joash, who was I think Jezebel's grandson in Judah, the one that was hidden in the temple. As long as he was alive, the people, it's like they were kind of good. Josiah's done well. Read verse 33 of 2 Chronicles 34, please, Dream. And Josiah took away all of the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, executing as a king what should have been done as their a way of living in obedience, even to serve the Lord. I kind of broke into that. So, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. Here it is. In all his days, they departed not from the Lord, the God of their fathers. In all his days. I don't know exactly what flavor or how I'll be led to come from where we are or end it tonight. But that's saying something. You would think that his sons would be righteous. We've seen this man not be like his father, Ammon. We didn't read the last, I think, 5-6 verses of 2 Kings 23. We're going to start reading about his sons. We're going to see that they were evil. So when we look at that verse right here, it says, in all his days. So it's like when Josiah passes off, there was enough that probably Manasseh did, Ammon did, some of the ones before that, that it just left a taste of wickedness or whatever. Because usually you're born in the flesh and there's this struggle. But to have God's word, we got to hold on to God's word. That's our wisdom. It's our righteousness. It's our salvation. So that's where we're going to end on this evening. So I'll pray and then we'll open up for discussion if there's going to be any. Heavenly Father, help us not to pass over your word. Help us to truly better continue to understand and grow what the Passover Lord Jesus the Messiah has done for us, and that he died on that cross. He lived a sinless life, not so that we can live any kind of way, but so that we can honor, fear, and adore and be obedient to him. Help us in times of doubt or weakness, or just even in rebellion, because we don't want the death angel to come and it be found too late. Thank you for examples that we see in the scriptures. We ask that, Lord, that you would just help us to be faithful unto you. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We are open for discussion if there's going to be any on this evening. I'm going to talk too fast. All times. I think I slowed down for a few minutes. My mama might be thinking that's about right. A few minutes. Thoughts, insight, other passages of scriptures, questions, things. We say, Gary, you confuse me here. You didn't get that right. Yes. I thought I heard someone. Is that an echo? Hello? If someone did start to say something, I can't hear you anymore. So maybe there's some kind of disconnect. But if you feel free to, I hear a little bit now. Feel free to speak up.
At one point, you were sounding like Bill Clinton.
What? What are you talking about?
Your voice.
Oh,
Like Bill Clinton.
I had a slight headache actually in the beginning.
Is it gone now?
Yes, sir.
That thing about Nico and him meddling, and the thing about him getting that information from Holder. If you look at that, you see that we ought to be discriminating in determining how we observe and how we take information from one another. There was one he should have taken advice from. It cost him. And there was one that he did take advice from. And he was benefited by it. It looks like, based on what we call the scriptures, those were two unlikely sources being struck in the king. And if that doesn't say volumes about whom God can use to, you know, just say, like, let's talk about this, let's consider this, as opposed to, I'm the king, you don't even have a title, you need to shut up. Your title is king, but you're in another nation. Your title is prophetess, but you're not cutting up the animals. So we're able to see in that the Lord honors his word no matter who he gives it through. That ought to be encouragement to those of us who preach. Yeah. Honors his word, irrespective of who it comes through. And there's a real problem that we have determined in our minds that we're going to continue to be obstreperous and make up our own paths. No, we don't get to do that. So he ends up being dead, whereas one time he ended up bringing life to the people. It just kind of stuck out to me that happened like that. That's enough from Tim.
That was good. I mean, just to pull those two things out, the sources, call it the sources of truth and wise counsel. That's good.
Well, if we don't pay attention to those things, we may really feel like, who are you? You need to shut up. Let your words come my way. But it ends up being, no. They need to hear something. And then when you start talking about that portal, we are supposed to enter to his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. And if we're going to be living replicas of that kingdom, just like the Shekinah was evident from the tabernacle, it should be evident from us. And I thought I would give that much of my few cents to the discussion. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Any Abdul?
It was a delicious message.
Thank you.
No Abdul.
Well, I don't know if anyone else is going to speak. If you will, Tim, tell me if you used to ask, would I title it another way? If you thought as such, or even what you thought of my title, hopefully it wasn't or is not confusing.
What would you possibly have titled it? Would it be something similar to what you said about the two unlikely sources?
Normally, I would. I just might have dealt with, if I hadn't leave it like you did, I might have done something with the king rules in his kingdom without your permission. But, you know, it's just, what is it that when we read, are we emphasizing?
Mm-hmm.
And if I was going to teach it from a perspective of God's sovereignty throughout this, then I probably would have used that. If I would have emphasized the, at one point, listening heart of Josiah, and then at the other part when he didn't listen, I might have talked about it's important that we endure to the end and that we continually consult God, not on what he's done in the past, how is he operating right now? Just things like that. It's like, what really sticks out, and where does it seem like we are today? So I don't know what title I would have given it, but those are things I look forward to. When I'm teaching, what is it that just sticks out? And it just, sometimes it starts sticking out like a red thumb.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good too. I don't know if I will ever teach this one again, but if I do, and I don't forget, I just might have to use that. Cause you said this past Saturday that I don't teach the same thing twice. Something to that effect. If it's a bad,
that's right. I've resented people taking my ears for granted.
Well, if we are through with discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm turning back in my Bible because I have turned. We ended at least at the pretty much the 30th verse in 2 Kings 23, and kind of went to 2 Chronicles 34, which is sort of the parallel. So my desire is to pick up with 31 and 2 Kings 23, at least for now. I may do a little bit more reading on that Jeremiah. I want to be sure, at least see where the research is kind of pointing to that, and we may go there. But just moving on through this history here. So if there are no other thoughts, comments, I'll wait a few seconds, and if not, then we will close out.
I'm gonna go ahead and say good night, because I believe that that's what it's going to be.
Right. Thank you all for calling in. Thank you for your comments. Les, please keep praying for one another, and Lord willing, we connect back up on Thursday night, and I'm assuming we're going to be in the Psalms some more.
Yes,
so.
Sir.
All right.
Unless the Lord give me something that I say, okay, do it first, because I'm considering dealing with John the Baptist.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What,
good night, you all.
See? All right, love you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.